If someone wants to come a little bit close, but sit where you're happy with. I want to begin with two ha'aris on the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. One in the Rambam and one not concerning the Rambam. The first one is a famous shaila that Rabbi Chanan asked his Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim. The Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Chanan quoted the Maseiach Yesharim that says in Perek Dalet that with Yeshuris HaDin Mamash, if a person looks at what is right or wrong, what's the din, what should be, it's correct and proper that the sinner should be punished right away and no delay. And the punishment that the person deserves should be with anger from the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is fitting for a person who rebels and violates what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And there's no way to correct the sin, because how could you undo what you did? Could you erase what you did in the past? And he goes on and he elaborates that by right, by reason, there's no way to take away a sin. However, he says, the Midas HaRachman is Nisenis, that the Midas HaRachman comes and it does something that the Shuris HaDin doesn't allow. And Tshuva is a tremendous chesed, that Akiris HaRotzen is Akiris HaMais. So when a person recognizes he did wrong and he regrets it and he goes through the process of Tshuva, his Aveir is erased. And what shouldn't happen happens, meaning the Shuris HaDin shouldn't allow it to happen, but the Midas HaChesed allows the Aveira to disappear. So Rabbi Chanan asked his Rebbe, the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, he says, he doesn't understand. The Gemara in Kedushin says, at the end of the first parak, that if a person is a tzaddik kol yomav, and at the end of his life, he's toya al harishayis. Imagine, a person lived a life of meticulous observance, and towards the end of his life, he saw someone who was enjoying Olam Mazeh. He says, I wish I lived such a life like that. I regret all the stuff I gave and all the hardships I went through to keep our religion. He loses everything. Ibud kol schuyosav. Tzidkes hatzadik loy tzatzilena b'yoyim pishay. So Rabbi Chanan asked his Rebbe, he doesn't understand. You can't erase something that happened. He did mitzvahs. How do you erase something that happened? Maseiach Yesharim says you can't erase sins that happened, if not for a tremendous chesed and favor from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that goes against what the Shuris HaDin is. But really, by right, you can't erase what you did. How can you erase mitzvahs if you can't erase aveiros without the tremendous chesed of tshuva? How can you erase mitzvahs? This is what Rabbi Chanan asked his Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim. And his Rebbe gave him a teretz that there's a chilup in tshuva ma'ava and tshuva me'ira. Tshuva ma'ava erases it, min ha'din. The aveiros becomes schuyas, becomes merits. Tshuva me'ira not. I'm saying it over shortly, but you should look in Rabbi Chanan's Sefer Kovetz Mamorim, because maybe I'm not saying it over and doing justice to it. And Rabbi Chanan has a whole different derech to answer this kasha. But I want to present a different understanding to answer this kasha, but also will give us a little bit of a perspective about how we should think about life. We find in the drushes, I think it's the drushes haran, I'm not sure now. And he writes that a rasha gets paid up on this world. And why is that understandable? Such small schar? A rasha does a mitzvah. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't neglect even to give Rishayim reward for their mitzvahs. And he gets paid up this world. Ribbono Shel Olam pays his sinim on this world. But how is that possible? If he did a mitzvah, he deserves an internal reward. Says the Rishon, I don't remember, it's the Drush Zaran or the Sefer Ikarim. Maybe you remember? The Drush Zaran? The Sefer Ikarim. The Sefer Ikarim says that you have to understand, and I'm paraphrasing, there's a big distinction between Tzchar and Einish. It says, Al tiye kavodim hamishamshim es harav l'kabel pras. Don't be like slaves that worship the master to get a reward. You know why not? Because reward is not something we deserve. A person lives because of the grace of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He gives us life. We're his servants. We have to serve him. We don't deserve a reward. We're not hired hands that we tell the Ribbono Shel Olam we'll do a mitzvah if you'll give us a reward. No. A reward is something the Ribbono Shel Olam gives because of chesed. We don't deserve a reward. However, if an eved does something against his master, he deserves a punishment. He violated his master's demands, he violated his master's wishes, he deserves a punishment. So therefore, schar v'oinish is not equivalent in that sense. An oinish we deserve, a reward is because of the grace and the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, goyim olish chesed kimif oloi, noisein l'rosh ha-ra pirish asai. The Yayit says, the Ribbono Shel Olam does a chesed, he does a favor to someone according to his mitzvahs, meaning to say, he doesn't deserve a reward. We get life, the Ribbono Shel Olam is our master, we have to serve him. The reward he gives us is chesed, it's lefnei mishur hasadin, and it's not something we earned and deserve. However, when it comes to einish, and we're being mamrei, the Ribbono Shel Olam, our master, we deserve punishment. And therefore, noisei l'rosh ha-ra kirish asai. If we understand that, and it's also not just a statement, it's a little bit of a philosophy of what we expect, and the Ribbono Shel Olam giving us schar happens to be pure chesed, and when we do something wrong, we deserve a punishment, I think Rabbi Chanan's kasha could be answered simplistically based upon this. That when a person does an aveir and he deserves a punishment, you could regret it from Hein Pes Margin. But it's not going to help you. You deserve a punishment. Just like if you do something in this world, in the Malchus Shel Aretz, you could regret it. Doesn't matter. You did a crime, you get punished. Ribbono Shel Olam says, I created a concept of tshuva. You can erase an aveir kilu shehaya. Mesil Shesharim says, such a chesed. It's not rational. Pure chesed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when it comes to getting a reward, Rabbi Chanan asked the Chofetz Chaim, how could we erase that? If you can't erase aveiros, how can you erase mitzvahs? The Teretz is, when we're supposed to get rewards, it's not something that we deserve. If at the end of your life you tell the Ribbono Shel Olam you regret doing the mitzvahs, he's not going to do a chesed with you. That is Meshuras HaDin. So there's really a fundamental difference between Schar v'Einish. Schar is a chesed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. When the Ribbono Shel Olam rewards us when we do a mitzvah, it's something he does because it is a chesed, it is a favor. It's something we don't deserve. If you regret the mitzvahs, you'll lose it. Imagine you're going to do someone a favor, and then he says he regrets that what he did to you and inspired your interest in doing a favor. You're not going to pay him back. But when it comes to aveiros, that's something we deserve punishment because we rebelled against the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no way to erase what we did except for the tremendous chesed of tshuva. Now I want to mention a ha'ora on the Rambam. The Rambam tells us, the famous Gemara in Masechet Yuma, that tshuva is not sufficient for everything, bizman hazeh. Sometimes you need tshuva, and you need Yom Kippur. Sometimes you need Yom Kippur and Yisurim. And sometimes you need tshuva, Yom Kippur, Yisurim, and Misa. Meaning to say, a person violates a mitzvah essay, a positive commandment. What happens? If he does tshuva, he repents and regrets. The Ribbono Shel Olam forgives him. If he's over a mitzvah lisa, say a negative commandment, and he does tshuva, the Rambam says, tshuva is toila. It sort of puts it in abeyance. Yom Kippur comes and atones. And then if you're over a krisis or misas bez, an avera that has a punishment of death, and you did tshuva, Yom Kippurim toilin, v'yisurim habonim garlis hapar. and the Yisurin finalizes the Kapara. And then, when you get to Chil Hashem, we know the famous Rambam, famous Gemara, Chil Hashem, if you desecrate the Ribbono Shel Olam's name, the only Kapara at the end of the list and the process is Misa. Fine. So, Tshuva seems to be very helpful, but it's not the whole story. There's a lot more. There's Yom Kippur, there's Yisurim, and there is Misa, Rachman Litzlan. So it bothered me from a Rambam later on that seems to contradict himself. You look in the Rambam in Perikei, and he says there are many psukim that contradict each other superficially. However, we have to reconcile them. And then the Rambam goes and gives us a little bit of hashkafa. He says, listen, we don't know exactly what type of punishment we'll get for our averus. Sometimes we could be punished, our money could be punished, I mean our money being punished is we being punished, chas v'shalom our children, till they come to klal mitzvahs, because they are kinyone, a child is the possession of a person. And sometimes the chet is in this world be punished, sometimes it'll be in next world, sometimes it'll be in both worlds. In short, we don't really understand the Ribbono Shel Olam's administration of punishment. However, says the Rambam, Bamed v'mamur mizman shelo yaseh tshuva. When do these things happen? Punishments, the money, and the body, and chas v'shalom the children, chas v'shalom anything. That's when you didn't do tshuva. But when you did tshuva, ha-tshuva is katris l'fnei ha-peronis. It's like a shield before punishment. Pilei ploy. I just read you a Rambam that tshuva is a little bit short on atoning for everything. In fact, the only thing it atones on is a mitzvah seseh. A loisa seseh, chorus. You need affliction, you need Yom Kippur, you need Misa. And tshuva, in a way of saying, is somewhat diminished. It can't answer everything. But when it comes to the Rambam over here, the Rambam says, don't worry. Imasa tshuva, it's katris l'fnei ha-peronis. It's like a shield. Nothing will happen to you. Why not? If I violated an iser of Shabbos, chas v'shalom, I have to have yisurim. I have to have certain affliction in order to have total atonement. And here the Rambam says, Ketris l'fnei ha-peronis. It's a seer in the Rambam. Now, I found this kasha in the Sefer Acharedim. Sefer Acharedim gives a teretz from someone, Yesh Misha Tiretz, I don't think he mentions his name, that there's a chov between Tshuva Ma'ava and Tshuva Meira. Tshuva Ma'ava, end the story. It's an answer for everything. And Tshuva Meira, then already you need Yom Kippur, Yisurim, and Misa. Nope. So Baruch Hashem, we feel a lot better. We all we have to do tshuva ma'ava, and we don't have to worry about any further affliction. The only problem is tshuva ma'ava is nishkin leich bezach. I'm not so sure it's so easy to do tshuva ma'ava. But this is the Yesh Mishi Teretz. The Sefer Acharedim says tshuva alone can't do it, but tshuva and ma'isim toivim can do it, because the Mishnah Nova says tshuva ma'isim toivim ketris l'fnei ha-peronis. That's very beautiful, that there's no contradiction between the Gemara and Yuma and the Mishnah Nos, because the Gemara and Yuma says Tshuva alone can't do it. Ovid says Tshuva and Ma'isim Toivim could do it, which is also a breath of fresh air. We do Tshuva with Ma'isim Toivim. That could eradicate all the other necessities in the process of Tshuva. But it doesn't answer the Rambam, because the Rambam says clearly, Abli Wasa Tshuva Ketris L'Fnei Ha-Peronis. He doesn't mention a word about Ma'isim Toivim. So we're stuck with Akasha. Can tshuva do it, or could tshuva not do it? Oh. And this I want to suggest the teretz that hopefully Bez Hashem fits into the Rambam is true. If that was the Sefer Ikarim, this is the Drushas Haran. Just got mistake, what is what? This is the Drushas Haran. The Drushas Haran explains that the Pasuk says, Kasher yiyaser ish es b'noi kach Hashem elikechem yasrek. Like a man hits his son, so too the Ribbono Shel Olam hits us. And he goes, the way I recall, I had it written down, I didn't look up the source again, but I had it written down, the pertinent parts. And the way I recall his flavor is that possibly punishment is not revenge. Punishment is not the Ribbono Shel Olam saying, you did something bad, and I want to hit you over the head, nekama. But a person gets afflicted for his own betterment. Sometimes it's for the betterment of others. They should see they shouldn't do what you did, because they'll also get hit like you. But it's for your own benefit. In a simple sense, the Miri says in Masechta Yuma, when a person gets punished, he reflects and his tshuva is deeper. And maybe in a more not understandable sense, it purifies the person, because the Ran struggles in Olam Haba, his punishments also. You can't say it's to get him to do tshuva. Olam Haba is not the makom to do tshuva. So what is the punishment in Olam Haba? But there's a concept, however we understand it, that a person has to be purified, and the purification is through Yisur, Kach Gozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in order to clean your body and cleanse yourself from the sin, you need Yisur. But there is also a concept of Einish, Nekom, as the Mesilas Yesharim says, which I quoted before, person does a sin, he should right away get a punishment, he rebelled against the Rebanish Lailam. The Rambam used the word Nekom throughout the writings of the Rambam. So basically, I'm suggesting there are two types of afflictions that visit people. There's an affliction that is punishment. Pshuta k'mashmoi. Person doesn't do tshuva, he also gets a punishment. He's not going to get atonement, because there's no atonement without tshuva. But there's punishment. Schar v'oinish, there's punishment. And in addition to punishment, there is also yisurim that is beneficial for us. It purifies. It teaches us. It inspires us to do tshuva. In some way, whether we understand it or not, it's for our own good. Based upon this, I think the Rambam is very beautiful and also very important to know. The Rambam says, in Hilchas Tshuva, there is no tshuva on certain aveiros without Yisurim. He means, you won't attain the kapara unless you are purified. Tshuva can't purify you. You must have a Yom Kippur, you must have Yisurim. However you understand it, but it's Yisuri Rachamim, it's Yisurim for your own benefit, it's not Yisuri Nekama, it doesn't have to be, it's not B'charoi Nach, it's Yisurim for our benefit, for our benefit. In fact, I heard the Shabbos someone speak, he quoted the Sefer Ikarim that I remember. He says, how does a person daven the Rebbeinu Shalom should take away his Yisurim? It's for his benefit. What are we davening? Rebbeinu Shalom, take away my Yisurim. The Gemara in Bracha says, Chaviv loch Yisurim, Rabbi Yechelin, and the whole Amid over there, they all ask, Lehein v'loi Scharim, no one wants Yisurim. Yadam du Bashlam, he should take away something for your benefit. That's the Sefer Yikarim Shaila. But whatever the answer is, there's a concept of Yisurim, it's for our benefit. And we can't evade that, but it's not B'choroi Nav, it's with love, and it's with Chesed, in order to get an atonement. And then there's a Yisurim that's an Einish for Charoinav. That the Rambam doesn't call Yisurim. He calls Peronius. Peronius, not Yisurim. Peronius, like Perea Chayvay. Lashon, you got to pay up. You did a crime, you have to pay your punishment. You sit in jail, whatever you do. Comes the Rambam, a big Yisayi of a person does tshuva, there's no Marenchen. It's Pilei Playim, and it causes a lot of relief. Tshuva alone, no more punishment. Ketris lifnei haperonis. Tshuva alone, the Ribbono Shel'olam will not take, to use the lashon of the Mefarshim, of the Mesilas Yesharim, the Rambam, he won't take the comma. It won't be b'charoyinah. Tshuva stunts every type of punishment. No, the Rambam says sometimes you have affliction, but that's for our benefit, and that's b'chesed of a rachmim. So therefore it comes out, there is a tshuva that stops everything Ketris lifnei haperonis, as the Rambam says in Perek Vav. But there is also a tshuva that it's not enough to get an atonement, but that Yisurim is not Bataris Einish. That Yisurim is Bataris Kapara. A whole different level and a whole different type. So, Bemis Tshuva is the whole story as far as preventing punishment. Now, the Mesilas Yesharim, he doesn't need any introduction to this island for sure, but the Vilna Gaon said that if he would be alive when the Ramchal was alive, he would walk by feet from Vilna to Amsterdam, if I got the cities correctly. Just to show you what the Vilna Gaon thought of the Mesilas Yesharim, and he said he didn't find an extra word from my recollection from my yeshiva days till Perek Yud Aleph. So the Mesilas Yesharim is a classical Musar Sefer. And I just want to mention just for a few moments about what the Mesilas Sharm says. He writes so beautifully, especially in the beginning, which is the part I learn every year, because sometimes I don't have time to get past the first few parakim, but the first few parakim are really extremely important. He writes over here that Yirmiyahu said that Einish Nochama Ra'asai Kula Shavim Mutsasim Kisuf Shaykh Bilhama. People don't regret what they did. Why? Because they're like horses charging in the battlefield, meaning to say they don't take time to think. They're so busy with their lives. Good people. People who really want to do good, but they don't think and they don't reflect. And he said, you know whose idea was that? Who was the creator of that idea to distract people that they can't think and they can't do what's right? That was our arch enemy, Paro. Hichpid avoid al anoshim. Give him work, whether it's work in the business, work at home, work for yourself, you're worried about your personal lives, everything. Yeah, hey, I even find working for mitzvahs. Working for mitzvahs also is a distraction. I'm not going to tell you you shouldn't work for mitzvahs. But I remember once I was in line in Eretz Yisrael, Shlomo Zalman Obach used to wait in line to cash his checks or put money in the bank. I was learning in Eretz Yisrael in Brisk, and he was the Rosh Hashiva in Kolkata. He was waiting in line. He was speaking to someone. I don't know how, but he was getting older. He says, Masa Esa Lebesi. He meant to say he has to attend to himself a little bit more. He's doing so much for the tzibur, even though he didn't stop doing for the tzibur. But sometimes you also get distracted. You don't have time to think. Baruch Hashem, so many people are involved in so many important things, but you don't think. In the Lashon of the Pasuk, what does that mean? It means, Al titein sheva leinecha usnu maliyata pecha. We're sleeping. You're not thinking, you're sleeping. And that's the classical Rambam, Uru Yeshenim Mishinaschem. Wake up from your sleep. Sleep means you're not thinking. You don't have time to reflect. So I just want to mention, what should we reflect on? We have to think. Here we're in the Beis Medrash. We're not involved in anything. The minds are paying attention. We could reflect. I want to mention two things that are really basic things. The Chofetz Chaim in Tav Kuf Pei Daled asks a question. He says, we don't say Hallel on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because Sifrei Meisim, Sifrei Chaim, Psuchim Lefanecha, V'atem Oimrim Shira. Is it possible to say Hallel when the Sifrei Chaim or Sifrei Meisim are open? And a little alternative Nusach is, in the Lashon HaRambam, Ein Zeh Simcha Yisera. It's not Ein Zeh Simcha. There's a mitzvah Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, according to the Rambam. No question there's a mitzvah simcha. Samachta v'chagecha refers to Rosh Hashanah, according to the Rambam, but it's not Yimei Simcha Yisera. Correct the Chofetz Chaim, but we have betochen in the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says we take haircuts at Rosh Hashanah, and we put on our clothes, which are very nice, maybe not the nicest, and we have betochen. Where is the sadness? Where is the pachad? Where is the, why are we besimcha Yisera? We have betochen in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if I read him correctly, he says, by having the pachad and by having the fear, that will be a merit that you'll be remembered l'chayim. Pirush, what does it mean? If you take Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur seriously, that itself is a tremendous chus. If you take Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur seriously, that is a tremendous chus. I just read the other day, there's a person who came into Yerushalayim and he met the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav, on Elul, you weren't able to approach him with anything. I read a biography written by someone who interviewed the family. I don't know how they got the interviews. It's written in English. I don't know. But I take the writer by his word. He said he asked one of the girls or the daughters, maybe a granddaughter, how was Elul in your father or grandfather's house? He says, how was it? You couldn't approach him. He says, I once asked him for a pair of shoes I needed, and he thought I was crazy. Imagine, a person has a court date tomorrow, and his whole life depends on it. Capital punishment. And the night before, you're saying, I'd like to take a haircut. You think the person lost himself. He says, you couldn't talk to him. He had such a pachad. I saw somebody the other day, he writes, he said he saw he was shaking. He says, what are you shaking, Rebbe? He says, shtey, zoi chalim v'roya de miyoy bo'echa. Says in Slichas, we're going to say Mitzoy Shabbos, I'm shaking. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that belief, and that chus, that in itself is the merit. That pachad and that belief, that is the merit for Yom HaDin. So if I ask you, what's the first thing you do? You have to take it seriously. That in itself, the fact that you take it seriously, that's going to bring a tremendous merit that will bring a person to be Yaitse Bedin Toiv. And I saw once in the Sefer Ikarim, I remember the Sefer Ikarim, he says, what is Tshuva Meira? You go to Ribbono Shel Olam and says, I regret I didn't say Kriya Shema because I'm going to get a potch. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, I forgive you. Imagine, someone slugs you in the face and you go over to him and you say, please forgive me because I know if you don't forgive me, you're going to hit me back. Does that make sense? You'll hit me back anyway because I really have no regret. Here I'm telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, I regret I did a favor because you're going to punish me. I really don't regret it and I will do it again. The only reason I'm not doing it because your Sefer Ikrim says, that's not Tshuva, that's senseless. Says the Sefer Ikrim, you know what that is? That's belief in Oynish. That's a tremendous chus. That's the kapar, the same part. A person believes in what he, in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he believes it. That itself is a tremendous chus. So the first avoid is to take it seriously. Take it seriously. It's Yom HaDin is coming, and everything's going to be decided. Who lives, who chas v'shalom, does not, who gets rich, who gets poor, who gets sick, everything is decided. There's no chazokas. I heard once from Avtoli Trupp, of course not directly, but from someone else, he says, the Chofetz Chaim once asked him to speak in Rabban. He says, Rebbe, I can't speak in front of you. No one wanted to speak in front of Chofetz Chaim. They thought, even with Rishus. Even I read once from Moshe Ladinsky, once wanted to speak, they asked him to speak in front of Chofetz Chaim. He screamed, you're killing me. How can I speak in front of Chofetz Chaim? And Avtoli Trupp, on Yom Kippur, He before Nila or Kol Nidre spoke, it says, we Kedalu Karash and Daif Gemal Vosecha. We're like poor people knocking on your door. What does it mean we're like poor people knocking on your door? Sedra Naftali, Shaksazet. He says, a poor person doesn't bang on the door. When you want to ask for some favor, you're embarrassed, you go over, a little knock, excuse me, could I come in? You know, no one should be in such a situation, but even if you're not poor and you got to ask a guy a big favor, it's not so geschmack. But if the kids get hungry and they're starving and the wife is beside herself and everyone is hungry, in other words, it's a crisis, you're banging on the door. That's what Avtali said. The experience we have to experience when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Kedalim Ukiroshim Doifkin, we're banging on the door. It's a crisis. Yan Chashem Yoyim Tzara, I think the El Yuzuta says, Zum Yimei Slichas. It's a Yom Tzara. It's not simple. So the first thing we have to recognize that the first thing we do is we've got to take it seriously. And that in itself is the biggest chutz. The second I just want to mention in a minute or two, that this Yisidus Hashorim starts, Yisoydach Sivs of Shorosh Havoydah, Shisparvi Yisam Leisod, the Machavosa Vailamai. He says very simply, you got to decide what's important in life. And I just give a simple example. A person, let's say he's a doctor. I don't know if there are any physicians here. Just giving you an example. And he starts his practice. He has to make his decision. He wants to make money, then he has to open up in a good section and see how many patients he could see an hour in order to increase the money. But if he wants to help people, then what does he do? He goes into a poor section, takes the time with each patient, meaning to say, in order to accomplish, you have to define your goals. That's also what the Mesillas Yesharim tells us. We have to define our goals. If you define your goals, you could work toward it. And obviously the definition of the goal, as the Chofetz Chaim says, is to work for next world. Work for next world. We'll just leave it at that because I am anxiously awaiting for our arrangement to speak. And therefore, I'm very happy to stop. I do want to give a tremendous yachshkoich for Rebbe Yisrael for coming. I have to tell you, it's mamish mesiris nefesh for him. I know. He's a very busy person in all Dvarim Shekedusha. And also a tremendous speaker. So that comes together. It's a tremendous combination. So I give you publicly a grois yashkoich for coming, and I wish the whole oil of a ksivu v'ksivu taiva a good gebench year. And I want to mention one of the kabbalas you should make tonight is to come to learn in the kailu more often. If anyone announces it publicly, I'm ready to hear. No one? No? Okay.